Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, how y'all doing? Y'all doing good? Guess what? Vicky is back in the house. And I know I heard about five or six, oh me. No, I didn't hear any of those. I really didn't. It is good to have you back. I know she took a bad fall, had to go to the hospital and all that, but we're glad to have them. And some of you have been out for a while and because of sickness and all. We just want to say welcome back. It's good to have you back. It's good to have you healed. It's good to have you with us, the family, gathered together in His name. And there's a promise that comes with that. What is it? If two or three gather together in My name, I will be in their midst. Don't forget that part. Welcome Him. Let's just welcome the presence of God. Let's just welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. Amen. Well, we're going to be continuing this thing with the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to learn some new things, I think, about joy. But before I get into joy, I wanted to share one more thing about love. And we sang about love almost, I guess, in every song. Matter of fact, the song, Rain on Me, Pastor Charlie wrote the music, right? He composed all the music for that song. I think a friend of yours wrote the lyrics.
My friend, Charlie Tiffin, was his name, and he was the worship leader at Bill Perry's church in Lincolnton. And we got to be friends, and he would send me the lyrics to songs, and I would just write the music.
So
he passed away from a heart attack, too.
Yeah. Well, he left a great song for us. He really did. And we're just... just pleased to have you, Pastor Charlie, here on staff as a worship leader. Amen. You amaze me a lot of times. You really do. Not that I don't expect it, but I am amazed by you sometimes. But that's a beautiful song. The lyrics are beautiful, but the composition of the music is awesome. It really is. But I wanted to give you honor for that. But anyway, look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We talked a little bit about that last week, that there's nothing that the enemy can do to prevent any of that stuff. There's nothing, no charges against that. But like I said before, we're going to talk about joy. But before I get into that, I want to finish something up about love that I left out last week, sort of ran out of time, but in Galatians 5:6, it says this: faith works through love. Now, that may sound, well, that's just a little thing, but it is a huge thing when it comes to your faith. Sometimes our faith is not working, and sometimes it's due to us not loving. Sometimes our faith is not working because faith works through love. So if our love is not working, our faith will not be working. Does that make sense? That's how God made it to be. It keeps us away from this thing about getting haughty when we have faith to do something and something happens. It cuts away the haughtiness when you have the love, because you're doing it out of love. You're doing it through love. So we need to make sure that we don't forget that. So faith is unlocked by love. So it has the room to operate because you've paved the way with love. So we need to keep that in our mind, that love makes faith operative. If you want your faith to really operate in its fullness, you're going to have to love to do it. That's not a sad thing. It's really not. I'm not getting on to anybody. I'm just saying our love has to be intact. Love is the foundational piece of all the fruit that's in there. The foundational piece is love. Because we love, we can have joy. But a lot of us don't understand joy. But this thing about operating by love, our faith operating by love, what that really, if you break down, how does that apply in my life? Here's how it applies in my life that I'm learning how to apply it in my life, is that I want to feel his love and experience his love in such a way that it causes me to believe him for things that are bigger than me. Does that make sense? I want to have love so saturated in my life to love people that it causes me to have faith to believe him for something that is a lot bigger than who I am. How about you? See, but our love has to be in that place to excite that faith that moves us to move mountains. See, that's out of love. How many of you ever seen ministry that looked like it was just showing off? Be honest with me. It didn't look genuine. It just looked like, okay, I just want you to see what I can do. You know, there's no humility in that. But see, when you love people, it doesn't matter if you get credit or not. If you love people, it doesn't matter if you get credit or not. You know, so we need to make sure that our love is in operation so our faith can be working through that love that we have. So if you don't have love, you're not going to have a lot of faith. We can try to gather up the faith, but it won't operate. It's sort of like the whole runway for faith is love. So if you don't have it, there's not a good takeoff for faith to be able to be operating. It causes you and I to be able to say, you know, because I'm so loved by God and because he's saturated me with his love, and I want to give that love to him, to everyone I'm around, to give that love to people, that I can trust him for anything. Okay. That was very good, Terry. Thank you. I don't need that. I needed that right there. No, sometimes I think, you know, when you get real quiet, and I've been told by several people, we're not quiet because we're bored. We're trying to drink in what you're giving us to drink. We're trying to eat what you're feeding us, you know. So I sort of have to deal with that in my thoughts, you know, a lot of times. Not that I need the pats on the back. It's not it, but you know, the thing about God is that there's so many people that God is love. There's so many people that's been in church all their life, and they've never experienced God loving them. A lot of people have self-starvation in experiencing God's love. A lot of times it's because we are not loving them that way. So when you come into a house that's called a house of worship, when you come into this place, one thing that you need to feel is loved. Wherever you go. And that's one of our jobs as his people. When people come in that we don't know, that we have never seen, they're visitors or whatever, we need to love them. Accept them. You know, people will forget sometimes what you say. They'll forget sometimes what you do, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. They'll never forget how you made them feel. That is so tangible to their life that they carry with it. Because their memory, they can forget that. They can't forget, but they don't forget how they feel. You treat them wrong, they'll never forget how you made them feel. You love them, they'll never forget how you made them feel. So make sure everybody feels the presence of God, the love of God from you. As a matter of fact, stand up right now. Just go ahead and stand up. Now go show somebody your love for them. You got 1 minute. We got a visitor right here that just needs some love. You got 30 seconds. You got 15 seconds. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five.
I love you.
I love you too. Four, three, 2, 1. Doug Logan said, it's not going to stop now. Was there anybody here today that did not get hugged? Okay. Everybody got hugged. You know what came to... Did y'all hug each other up there? Okay, good. All right, I see it going on. I see it. Did anybody hug Randy? Randy, did anybody hug you? Nope, somebody go hug Randy. Believe it or not, a song came to my mind. Did somebody say, oh no? I feel the love in that, I really do. There's a song, I forgot who it's by. It said, come get your love. Come and get your love. Come and get your love. Yeah, okay. Moving right on. See, I know that a lot of you have been listening to the radio other than Christian music because all of you started singing it. I didn't hear that. So I'm... Moving right along. You know, if you can't be, if your love cannot be spontaneous, if it has to be ordered, it doesn't feel the same way. Church needs to have its order. But when you structure church in a way, when we get structured in such a way that it's just structure with no life, then we lose the very purpose of living as the church. Order is fine. Order is good. But you can structure yourself so much that you have no life in it. By the way, the structure is the skeleton. It's the bones. That's the structure. The life is everything else attached to it. Okay. Let's see if we can get into joy. Love and joy. We're trying to teach all of this to be able to connect and activate every one of these fruit that is available for us that we have in our spirit that we're not actually living out sometimes in our behavior. So we're trying to get us to awaken to the character. The fruit is His nature, is His character, it's the character of God, and we enter into circumstances. You heard me before. We enter into circumstances that there's an invitation for you and I in every circumstance for us to be able to develop one of those fruit with every situation. Every situation, it's available. It's an invitation. See, joy is the very thing that operates in our lives that begins to erode negativity and a bad attitude. So if you don't have joy operating, you will be more prone to be negative and have an attitude that doesn't reflect Christ. So we really do need the joy in our life. And it doesn't mean you bounce around and be happy all the time. That's not what that means. Happiness is good. It's good to be happy. Don't worry. Y'all been listening to that song again. You know, don't worry, be happy. See, don't worry, don't be anxious. You know, but see, what God is after inside us is not to have gladness in fractured moments of our life. That is not the fullness of joy. Having gladness and happiness in fractured moments of our life, just particles of our life, is really not the fullness of joy. The Bible says that in His presence is the fullness of joy. So where is the fullness of joy? In His presence. Just be conscious of His presence in your life. That will bring you to a fullness of operating in joy. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is out of the Phillips translation, by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Let me read that again. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life, not just a little bit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Joy is the thing that releases that in our own life, and it causes us to release that to us. See, joy can be shared. Your love can be shared. And we need to be able to share that joy and that love with everybody. Well, do you have to jump around? No, you don't have to do any of that. That's not the fullness of joy. See, joy is designated to overwhelm all circumstances and overpower every opposition. To overwhelm all circumstances and overpower all the opposition. Is anybody in here have circumstances? Did anybody in here have opposition? Then you and I need joy. Joy gets us in the position to be able to overwhelm those, overpower that. Amen? Amen. Okay. But we often delay our joy because we're so focused on what's happening in the circumstance. And it distracts us from the joy of the Lord. There's a lot about joy that we need to understand. Joy comes from knowing who God will be for you. Joy comes when you begin to know God, who God will be for you in that moment. That's when you have joy. See, joy has a voice. The Bible says joy has a voice. Joy has a shout. Joy has a sing, a song that you sing. Joy has all these things. And joy has this stability in it that settles you even when everything is going crazy. The world needs to see Christians love. The world needs to see Christians with joy. Joy that's there no matter what the situation is. See, that is the wealth of who he is. That is the wealth of his purpose inside us to be able to do what he wants us to do, even in the midst of every circumstance and every situation. But we see that the power of joy creates an abundance that elevates us from a place of need to a place of strength. When we have joy, its power and joy is able to elevate us above a place of being needy to a place of strength. See, if we focus only on our needs, we miss what joy is doing about our strength. How do we know that? Nehemiah 8:10 says this: "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And we don't, you know, we sing that song, right? But why did that verse come about? The history behind that, the Bible behind that, is that God's people's been in captivity for 70 years. No word, hasn't heard the word, they're not doing the word. 70 years. Then they're released out of captivity, and they go back and they start rebuilding Jerusalem. And they find a book of the law. We don't know which one. Some people think it's Deuteronomy, or it could have been the whole Torah. But we're not sure. And they bring it to Ezra, and Ezra sees it, and Ezra opens it. He prepares the people, and he opens it, and he starts to read it. 70 years without hearing the word. That's basically three generations. Three generations of people hadn't heard the word. Been absent. So he begins to read, the people fall on their faces and they weep when they hear it. And they have grief and they start grieving because they see where they are. They see their condition and they see where they've been and they see where they are today. And they start grieving. Start having this pain inside them that they've been without the Word of God for that long. And in their grief, you know, Nehemiah and them, they stood up and they said, "Be still, for this is the day. This day has been made holy by God. Do not be grieved." He understands that if they go into this grieving thing, because they haven't, that grieving, if not handled properly, will lead them into depression. So they caution the people, says, "Hold it just a second. I know what you're saying, I know what you're going through, and I know what you're experiencing. But this day has been made holy. This day, God's doing something different for you. This day, there is an awakening for you to enter into. Yes, there was 70 years that you didn't have it. Yes, there was 70 years that you were slaves, you were in captivity. Yes, all of that time. But this day is the day that God has said, it's going to be different for you. It's going to be different for you." And that's when he goes on. He says, "I want you to go, and I want you to get food. I want you to eat food. I want you to have not a party but a festival. And I want you to eat, drink, and send portions to celebrate the great feast. I want you to begin to understand that depression is not where you're going. Celebration is where you're headed. Then they go and say, what is that? Was that a pow-pow? Boom! I like playing with the kids, I really do. Don't aim it this way. But he says, be still, this day's holy, you will make a great feast. And he goes on and he said, don't do that. You know, I heard a story one time that my kid was acting up, and he was down here on the first or second row, and he's acting up, and finally his dad said, I've got to take him out. And then when he started taking him out, he had held him like this, and his face was facing the congregation. He said, y'all pray for me. Now, I don't know what that's about. So he stands up and he says, listen, don't go into depression. Don't go there. Here's where I want you to go. Because the joy of the Lord, whose joy is it? It's the Lord's joy. Why is he joyful? Why is he joyful? He has a people. He loves his people. He cherishes his people. And he wants his people to love him back. He says, the joy of the Lord, the joy that the Lord has, is what? Your strength. Take strength in knowing that the Lord has joy, and it's for you. His joy is for you. No matter what we've done, no matter where we are in life, his joy is for you. And he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Even Ezra, at that time, it's written in Ezra 7:10. It said, and Ezra prepared his heart. That's fixing your heart. That's what we talked about the other week. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord, to do it, to seek the law of the Lord, the word, to do it, and to teach it. He prepared himself to be able to do that. We need to prepare ourselves. Our heart needs to be fixed on him. On him. And that we'll seek his word. And we'll get into this word and read it and study it and listen to the Spirit of God as he illuminates what he's wanting to show us. We need to do it. And then we need to be able to teach others. We need to do that. See, the joy of the Lord is strength to be able to do that. Let me read you something. Y'all ready? Let me read you this. Though tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I will lift my eyes. I'll lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I will lift my eyes to you. While there's hope inside my heart, I will praise you, Lord. When I cannot see you with my eyes, let faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, let faith arise to you. God of mercy and love. I will praise you, Lord. Oh, you shine with glory, Lord of light. I feel alive with you. In your presence, now I come alive. I am alive with you. There is strength when I say, I will praise you, Lord. When sorrow comes my way, you are the shield around me. Always you remain like courage in a fight. I hear you call my name. Jesus, I'm coming. Walking on the waves, reaching for your light. Now, where do you think that came from? Brother Dan, you know where that came from? The joy of the Lord is my strength. We sing it here so many times and never realize what we're singing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Here's the chorus. In the darkness I'll dance. In the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I mean, Dan leads us in that song several times. But yet we sing it without the fullness of what is meant by it. But it's just, it becomes just a song. No, it needs to become our joy. That's the joy in knowing that no matter what I'm going through, the joy of the Lord, His joy over me being His son, being His child, His joy over me strengthens me. If we lose that, we lose the strength. When sorrow comes my way, you are a shield around me. You always remain like courage in a fight. I hear you call my name. Jesus, I'm coming, walking on the waves and reaching for your light. Why is that? Why can we say that? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, the joy that we have is a strength that's able to overcome. Overcome what? Overcome the night, the dead of night, the tears that when our heart fails and when the waters rise, while hope is still there, the darkness I'll dance, the shadows, when I cannot see you, when I cannot feel you. See, the joy of the Lord strengthens us in every bit of that. When we begin to fail, it's because we're not attached to the joy of the Lord over us. That's where we get our strength. So you think joy is important? Absolutely. I'll tell you, it was so important. It was so important that you can, let me see, I don't have enough time to go through all of it today, but look at this one, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and every sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before you. Do you know you? If you're here, raise your hand. If you're not here, I see those hands. Okay. Here's the thing about it. You raised your hand. Said there is a race set before each and every one of you. It is set, ordained of God. Well, you need to know that. With endurance, run the race that is set before you, fixing your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. The reason you have faith is he gave you that faith. He started it, and he's going to finish it. And he's going to finish it in us. We're going to be equipped with his faith. Then he goes on and said, he's the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him. There's another setting. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. By the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the right hand of the throne of God. One of the most important things, you have to hear this, one of the most important things to Jesus during that time. Most essential to him was joy. Do you hear that? It was the joy that was set before him that he was able to endure everything that the cross brought. Now, it wasn't a happy moment. See, joy is not just happiness. Joy is the strength that he had from his God, from Father, to be able to endure what he had to go through. So Jesus connected joy to his future that carried him through his present. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life. Y'all really don't. You know, some people we know a few things, but overall we don't know. But I'm telling you this. There was a joy of the Lord that was given to Jesus. And it was set before him. And he was able to enter into that joy of the Lord to strengthen him to be able to go through his present situation to get to his future. But you know what he saw in his joy? He saw you and I. He saw the future. He saw you and I sitting here today. He saw you and I becoming children of God. Becoming born again. And you know what he said? In his heart was saying, it's worth the cost. Because I see God's family growing, coming, because of what he's going through. And he said, it's worth the cost. So he had the joy of the Lord strengthening him to go through his present in order to get to his future. And it brought him to a place of full peace, full rest. How do I know? He's sitting at the throne of God, right hand of God. Where'd it come from? The joy. It was essential to him. And it's also essential to you and I to be able to have that joy, to have that stability and our trust in God that no matter what we're going through, his joy, he's rejoicing over me. The Bible in Zephaniah, when it says he rejoices over us in love, that word means to spin and twirl and dance. God is dancing over you with joy. That's his joy. That should strengthen us. He don't look at you and say, oh, I've seen what you've done here. Look what you've done, Billy. Look what you did here. Look what you did yesterday. He's not doing that. He's spinning over Billy. He's rejoicing. He's dancing over Billy. Why? He loves him. He belongs to him. And God belongs to him. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So you can go through anything. Well, you can go through anything. Anything. And there's some hard things out there. It was hard for him. See, he didn't do that because it was easy. He latched onto that joy so he could be strengthened by his father's joy and his father's love to be able to go through his present condition in order to get to his future. By the way, there is the other side of what you're going through. You may as well say that to yourself. What I'm going through right now, there's the other side to this thing. And I'm going to get there. And it's going to be the joy of the Lord that strengthens you and I to be able to do it. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Paul said, I am overflowing with joy in all my affliction. Paul is in affliction. He's been afflicted, and he said, I'm overflowing with joy. That's where we got to get to. See, we can't calculate and say, well, this thing, when things get better, I'll start rejoicing. It doesn't work that way. You get the strength of God because you see that he loves you so much, and no matter what you're going through, he's with you. He's in it, and he's in it to win it. Really, he's in it to win it, and he's already won it. But he's bringing you to the place of victory in your situation. You're not working to attain it. You already have it. He's just bringing you to the future of it. One more thing, and I know we need to close. See, joy is, the Bible says that joy is everlasting. You know what that means? It means it's ever present. If it's everlasting, it's ever present. It's always there for you. James said this, consider it all joy. Listen to this. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You know, Jesus did that. He considered it joy when he encountered the trial of the cross. Because the joy strengthened him to get to the other side because it benefited every one of you and me. Ask, what can God do? Everything you need. Anything you need. Where is Eddie? Eddie, are you here? Eddie.
He's at the FLC.
His brother, we prayed for his brother. His brother had liver, Rita. Okay. Is it a liver? Liver? I think it's a liver thing that's going. It's what? Lungs. Okay, it's lungs that he needs a transplant or something in. But he needed $20,000. They had a, listen, because they dropped his insurance. Anyway, Eddie was telling me that just a moment ago before the service, and here's what he said. He said, I told Rita, who is this God that we're serving? He said, we had this barbecue thing to raise money for my brother, and he needed anywhere between $20,000 and $30,000. He said, just had a little barbecue sale, and they went, about 200 people showed up. He said, when they counted the money, they had over $20,000. Who is this God that we're serving? That's him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're in the middle of, no matter what you're in, what you're about to face, he's already set joy before you. It can't be, listen, it can't be canceled. In this cancel culture, it can't be canceled. But it can be ignored. We don't need to ignore what God's already provided. Jump into it. Let him give you everything that you need to be able to get to where you need to go. And with his joy, we can celebrate his goodness. And we can say, you remember what we said last Sunday? I am highly favored. I am greatly blessed, and I am deeply loved. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who we are, because he made us that way. We didn't attain that. He made us that way. That's how much he loves us. I'm highly favored. I'm greatly blessed, and I'm deeply loved, and so are you. Let's pray. Father, it is awesome to stand before you today. It's awesome to be here with your people. It is tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous blessing that we have to be able to come together in your name and your presence be right in the midst of what we're doing. Lord, I pray that we won't ignore your joy anymore. That we will see that you are rejoicing over us. It's your joy that we're entering into because you love us so deeply. You love us so much that we can gain strength in knowing who you are. So God, we enter into the strength because we've entered into the joy of the Lord. And we thank you for that. If there's someone here that has not received Christ, has not accepted Christ, not repented of your sin, you're not walking with God, and you want to do that today, today's your day. We're right here. Is there any? Just lift your hand. Just say, I want to surrender my heart, my life to God today. Just lift your hand, and we're going to pray for you. Okay. All right. We're all believers. Let's stand together. Pastor Charlie, come on up here. I'll put you on the spot. I love doing that to him because he always did. You know, can you do "The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength," the chorus?
I can.
Can you do that right here?
Yes.
You need help?
Nope. I need you to sing with me.
You need me to sing with you? Oh, no. This. Go ahead.
Joy of the Lord is my strength.
Prayer, but before we go, I want to say, because I noticed this during the message, and Rita's sister is here. How are you doing? Good to see you today. And you are, what's your name?
Lucas.
Yeah, Luke. Boy, you've grown. How tall are you now?
6'2".
How's the air up there? Anyway, we're glad to have you today. It's good to have you. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.